Okay, let's unpack this. You're juggling a million things, right? Work, family, maybe that sourdough starter that's basically become a pet.
Ah, yeah, demanding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's this pull, this fascination with your family history. You steal moments, you know, here and there. Maybe you unearth a cool old photo or a story snippet. But then you think, wait, hang on. Have I already looked at that census?
Yeah.
Or maybe, where exactly did I find that marriage record again?
Oh, definitely. That feeling, it's like your research is scattered all over, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're constantly wondering if you're just going in circles. Does that sound familiar?
It's fascinating, really, how universal that is for people exploring their family history. It doesn't matter how much time they have.
Right.
That huge ocean of potential info, it can feel overwhelming so fast. And when those research windows are small, that feeling of, things being fragmented, it just intensifies.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why we're taking a closer look today at something that, well, might initially sound a bit systematic, maybe a bit dry, but honestly, trust me, it's the key to unlocking real progress with every single minute you dedicate to your roots. We're talking about the Family History Research Log,
Right.
and our insights today, they're coming from an article in Family Tree Magazine titled How to Set Up a Family History Research Log, Learn How to Organize Family History. And it features expertise from Dr. Sophie Kay.
Good source.
Yeah. And forget like tedious data entry. Think of this as a way to make your research time really count. So you're not just busy, but, you know, truly effective.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's really about valuing the effort you put in, isn't it?
Exactly.
Tracing your family's story, it's often deeply personal, rewarding. And a research log, well, it's the tool that helps make sure that journey is fruitful and as free from unnecessary roadblocks as possible.
Like potholes on the research road?
Kind of. And as the article wisely points out, if you're short on time, you're actually the person who stands to benefit the most from having a log.
Makes sense. So, our aim today is pretty clear. To really get why a research log is so vital, what the absolute must-haves are to include in it, and how it can genuinely change your whole approach to discovering your family's past.
Yeah, we want to help you make sure no discovery slips through the cracks, no effort is wasted repeating searches you've already done.
And that you're always building your research on a solid foundation.
Which immediately brings up a fundamental question. Why? Why is this research log such a game changer? Dr. K starts with this brilliant analogy that really clarifies
Oh,
it.
yeah.
She draws a parallel to the ancient myth of Theseus and the Minotaur.
Oh, the labyrinth.
Yeah.
Right. Remind us how that goes again.
Okay, so Theseus, he bravely enters this incredibly complex labyrinth, right,
Okay.
to confront and defeat the
The
Minotaur.
scary part.
The scary part, yeah. But the critical element of the story, beyond the battle itself, is how he plans to find his way back out. He uses a ball of thread.
Ah, the thread.
Yep, carefully unwinding it as he goes through the maze, leaving a trail to follow back to the exit. And Dr. K argues that our family history research is, well, remarkably similar.
How so?
We venture into this vast, intricate network of records and stories, and without our own ball of thread, our research log, we run the significant risk of getting completely lost in all its twists and turns.
That's such a powerful image. You can instantly picture it, can't you? All those potential paths, those intriguing clues that might just lead nowhere,
Total dead ends.
and that overwhelming feeling of just information overload. So the log becomes that constant guide, showing you where you've already been, leading you back when you need to regroup.
Precisely. And as the article highlights, as we gather more and more fascinating details, it just gets harder and harder to remember the exact source for something or which avenues we've already checked out.
Totally. My memory isn't what it used to be.
Huh. Mine neither. So a well-maintained research log, it serves as that reliable external memory, keeping track of our progress.
And it's not just about noting down the wins, the successes, is it? Dr. K makes a really insightful point about the value of documenting the searches that didn't work out.
Oh, this is so crucial.
Why is recording those no matches so important then?
Well, this is an aspect that often gets overlooked, I think. By diligently recording those negative results, like the specific databases you searched and didn't find your ancestor, or the archives you visited with no luck,
Right.
you actively stop yourself from repeating those exact same fruitless searches later on. It saves so much frustration.
And time.
And time. Plus, it encourages you to think critically. Like, why was that search unsuccessful? Maybe it points you towards different records or different research strategies, those apparent setbacks, they actually become valuable data.
That makes perfect sense. It's like saying, okay, right, establish they weren't there under these conditions, so let's rethink and explore other possibilities.
Exactly. Stops you hitting the same digital brick wall or physical one in an archive.
Yeah. And she also emphasizes getting those really specific details down, doesn't she? Things like archival reference numbers or the precise keywords you used in an online search. Details that just vanish from memory.
Oh, absolutely. Vanish instantly sometimes. Imagine trying to find a specific will in a county records office months after you first looked without that exact file number.
Nightmare.
You could waste so much precious research time trying to track it down again. Same with online searches, remembering the exact combination of names and dates you typed in. It saves you sifting through the same irrelevant hits over and over.
Especially when your research time is limited, like we said, those little details become huge time savers.
Incredibly significant, yeah.
It's almost like the log acts as a, I don't know, an external processor for your research brain.
Right.
Frees up your mental energy for the actual analysis, making the connections.
That's a great way to put it. And Dr. K also calls it a journal, which I think reframes it nicely too. It's not just cold, hard facts, is it?
This doesn't sound like it.
Not at all. It also becomes a space to record your own insights, you know, the evolving theories you're developing as you find more info, those exciting aha moments when you start seeing how different bits fit together.
Oh, I love those moments.
Me too. So by jotting down your deductions, your working hypotheses, you're making your research more thoughtful, more analytical. You're moving beyond just collecting names and dates.
And for those of us who, you know, snatching research time in small chunks, maybe 20 minutes here, half an hour there, she highlights how a log can be fantastic for maximizing those short bursts. How does that work?
Well, by making quick notes to yourself, like where you left off and what your next intended steps are.
Okay.
Then you can jump right back into your research with focus during your next brief window. You don't waste the first 10 minutes just trying to remember where you were or what you plan to look at next.
Oh, that's brilliant. That saves so much ramp-up time.
It really lets you make the absolute most of those precious few minutes.
It's like having a little research assistant keeping everything on track. And then there's the financial aspect, which I admit I hadn't really thought much about in this context. How does keeping a log help with money?
The article gives a very relatable scenario. Accidentally ordering duplicate copies of the same birth certificate, maybe, just because you couldn't remember you already had it.
Ouch. Done that. Or almost done that.
Right. Happens easily. By diligently tracking the documents you've already acquired, a research log directly prevents those unnecessary repeat purchases. Saves you money. Simple as that.
That's a really tangible benefit. Definitely hits the wallet.
Yeah.
And looking beyond individual searches and documents, Dr. K also points out how the log helps you see the bigger picture of your family history. How does it do that?
Well, by systematically laying out all the different parts of your research, the sources you've checked, the specific findings, the gaps you still have, the log just provides this comprehensive overview of your progress. And that clarity can be invaluable, helping you spot patterns, maybe notice inconsistencies or contradictions you missed before.
Ah, so connecting the dots.
Exactly. Understanding how all the individual pieces of your family's story connect. It stops you getting too bogged down in isolated details and losing sight of your main research goals.
So you might suddenly notice, say, the same witness appearing on several family marriage certificates.
Precisely. Something like that. Laying it all out might reveal a consistent pattern witnesses from a specific village, maybe suggesting unknown family links or social circles you hadn't considered.
It really does bring us right back to that ball of thread analogy, doesn't it?
It does.
When you're tackling a really complex puzzle, the log helps you keep a clear focus, build a logical argument about relationships, instead of just feeling lost in a maze of possibilities and conflicting info.
Exactly. It fosters a more structured, considered, and, well, ultimately more effective approach to problem solving in your research.
Okay, so we're definitely sold on the idea of keeping a research log. Sounds indispensable, frankly. But what are the absolute essential things that Dr. K says we must include? Like the bare minimum.
Right, the essentials. According to the article, there are four minimum components. First, and maybe the most basic, is the date of each research session.
Simple enough.
Yeah, just that simple piece of info lets you track your progress over time, see how your research evolved.
Makes perfect sense. Provides a timeline of your efforts. What's number two?
The second crucial element is a record of the basic tasks you carried out during that session. And this is key, regardless of whether those tasks yielded any immediate results.
Ah, right.
So it could just be a brief note like, searched probate records on FamilySearch, or visited the local historical society, just what you did.
So even the sessions that feel like a bust are still important to document. We already touched on why that's valuable. What's the third essential?
The third is the specific details of the searches you performed and the results you got. And this includes explicitly noting those negative searches where you didn't find a match.
Okay, specifics.
Yes. Record the database or index you checked, the exact keywords or search terms you used, and the outcome success or no success. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've spent an hour searching for a birth record only to vaguely remember doing the exact same search months ago with no luck.
Oof, frustrating.
A log would have saved me that wasted hour.
That level of detail seems so important for avoiding that wasted effort and, like you said, refining your search strategies over time. Okay, and what's the final one? The fourth essential element.
The fourth and final essential component is that you must include full and accurate references for every record or resource you consulted.
Ah, the citations bit.
Basically, yeah. Website URLs, archive reference numbers, full titles of books or articles, any other info you'd need to find that source again later. Absolutely crucial.
Those four really do sound like a solid foundation. Date, task, search details, results, and references.
Got it. And Dr. K emphasizes there is no single right way to set up this log, does she?
Absolutely not. That's really important. Whether you like pen and paper, a Word doc, an Excel spreadsheet, or, you know, dedicated genealogy software.
Whatever floats your boat.
Exactly. The most effective research log is simply the one that you find easiest to use consistently. That's the key word. Consistently.
Right.
And the article rightly points out, it doesn't need to be some elaborate, complex system to start with. A simple file, maybe just a few columns covering those four essential things, that's perfectly adequate to get going.
So don't let the idea of creating some super intricate system stop you from starting at all. Just pick something manageable and begin. Okay, now beyond those essentials, the article also suggests some really useful supplementary lists we might want to add. What other tools does she recommend? Yeah, these are like optional extras, extra layers of organization that can boost efficiency even more. One really helpful one is a dedicated to-do list for your next research session.
Oh, I like that idea.
By jotting down specific tasks you want to tackle next time, you can just jump right in when you get that next bit of time for family history, focuses your efforts immediately.
That's so practical.
Yeah.
Stops you wasting that precious time just figuring out what to do next. What other lists does she suggest?
She also recommends keeping a list of genealogy books you've already bought. Helps avoid that costly mistake of buying duplicates.
Guilty as charged, potentially.
Yeah. And maybe a separate wish list, too, of books you'd like to check out in the future.
Useful for budgeting and library trips. What else?
Another valuable list could be for specific records you want to follow up on at particular archives. And crucially, this is a great tip, include the archive's reference number for each record right there on the list or in your main log.
Why is that so important?
It saves huge amounts of time when you actually get to the archive. You're not scrambling to find the reference number again.
That's a fantastic pro tip. Having that number ready would be a massive time saver navigating archives. Definitely adding that. And what's the last supplementary list mentioned?
Finally, Dr. K suggests maybe creating a list of specific research goals or questions you want to tackle on particular websites or online databases.
Ah, like a focused attack plan for a specific site.
Pretty much. This can be especially good if you have, say, a time-limited subscription to a genealogy platform. Helps you concentrate your research on that site before your access runs out.
Makes sense. You mentioned earlier that any format for the log is okay as long as you use it. But in your experience, are some formats maybe better for different types of researchers?
That's a great question. I think it really does come down to personal preference and how you naturally organize information.
Like visual thinkers versus narrative thinkers.
Exactly. Someone who thinks visually might love a spreadsheet, easy to sort, filter data. Someone who prefers more of a story approach might find a simple Word doc or even a dedicated physical journal more intuitive.
So there's no one size fits all.
Not at all. The key is choosing a system that feels comfortable and that you'll actually stick with. That's the bottom line.
Got it. Yeah. The underlying principle is just setting up a system, any system, that actively supports your research and helps you stay organized without feeling like, you know, just another chore.
Precisely. It shouldn't feel like a burden.
Okay, so as we bring this exploration of research logs to a close, what's the most important message you hope our listeners take away from this?
I think the most vital thing to remember is that starting a research log isn't just another task on your already long to-do list. it's actually a powerful tool.
Right.
It has the potential to make your family history research way more effective, far less wasteful in terms of time and effort, and ultimately just a much more rewarding experience, especially when time is so precious.
And for you, the listener, really think about how starting a log could ease that feeling of being overwhelmed by it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making sure every moment you dedicate to uncovering your family's story is actually productive, that it contributes to a clearer picture of your past. It's really a way to honor the time and energy you put into this fascinating pursuit.
Which brings us to a final thought for you to maybe ponder on. Reflect on the last time you spent valuable research time just, well, retracing your steps or questioning if you'd already checked a particular record.
We've all been there.
We have. Could implementing a simple research log be the very key that unlocks even more your family's story, all without adding more stress to your already busy schedule? Maybe now is the perfect time for you to start creating your own ball of thread.